All of Australia's major cities suffer from traffic congestion to one degree or another. And in that sense, they're little different from most of the world's urban areas. But simply blaming an increase in vehicle usage for the delays you face on your way to and from work may be wide of the mark. The true culprit, according to Curtin University's Peter Newman, is more likely to be poor urban management and a government fetish for building more and bigger roads. In fact, says Professor Newman, if you look at the data, car usage has actually peaked and it's going backwards. Peter Newman.
Car use per capita is going down in all the world's developed cities and now some of the emerging cities in China and India. The other factor is that there is a certain peakiness in car use, particularly to CBDs and major centres, because the growth in the knowledge economy is occurring in these places and therefore certain destinations are very congested, whereas the overall total is likely to go down. It's gone down about 20% in the last 10 years. It's still not a perfect science by any means, but when you find that these surveys around the world are all showing the same thing, then you know you're onto something. And the Bureau of Transport and Resource Economics in Australia has been monitoring this now since 20 or 30 years. They know how to do it. They've been pretty correct. And in 2004, it peaked and went down each year since. So we've had 10 years of decline in per capita car use. And that's in every Australian city, even the ones like Hobart and Canberra and Darwin that don't have much congestion.
And as you say, this is an overall global trend.
Around the world, we are seeing rapid increases in public transport, rapid increases in walking and cycling, and declines in car use. And this is a common phenomenon in every city that we look at. The cities that are doing it most, decoupling their growth in wealth from their growth in car use, are those that are putting in good rail options, because there is a big demand for people to use good quality rail and also to live closer in so they don't need a car as much or at all. So many younger people, many of the millennials, many of the young wealthy in particular, are choosing not to drive and locating where they can make the best use of that. So the cities that are providing that option the most are doing better economically.
Now, you use that term decoupling growth in wealth from growth in car use. Just explain that a bit more to us. What exactly do you mean by that?
Yes, in the past, we've always thought if you get wealthier, you buy a car and you use it. That's not the case anymore. So the linkage between wealth and car use, which all the modelling has been based on, has now disappeared. We don't have a very clear relationship anymore. So if you get wealthier, you may just choose to buy a place closer to a train station or right in the city centre so you don't need a car. And that kind of choice was not in the modelling before. So therefore, we still predict large increases in congestion whilst these social and cultural changes are happening.
And yet while these changes are happening, big road projects are becoming enormously fashionable again, aren't they, in many of our cities. You actually describe it as a big road fetish.
Yes, it's kind of a last gasp of the old era, the modernist era of road building, based on models that predicted endless growth in car use and the congestion was coming to get us if we didn't throw money at big roads. So the last gasp, the East-West Link in Melbourne, the Connex West in Sydney, the Perth Freight Link, these are billions and billions of dollars being thrown at a problem that is disappearing anyway and is not done economically. So the economics of those roads was never brought to Infrastructure Australia in any serious way. And I think they are clearly politically motivated by road lobbies that just want to build roads and can't think of anything better to do.
A fear of congestion, fear of worsening traffic. I mean, that still underpins, doesn't it, a lot of the urban planning and thinking that goes on in our cities.
Yes, and any public policy based on fear is going to be bad policy. So the traffic engineering profession has really grown on the basis of a model that's called the four-step model, and it links the growth in population and the growth in wealth with the growth in car use. So it predicts certain capacity requirements in our cities. And because they've got numbers, and the town planners and architects who design cities just have pictures, they very easily get taken over. And so we've had decades now where the traffic engineers have been winning the access to funds because they can show very clearly that unless you do this, congestion will roll over and destroy us. And this model, the four-step model, is now completely discredited. It is no longer able to predict the future, and yet we still use it. That's the modernist manual that must be put into use. And the reality is we've got to throw that away or rebuild it in ways that can enable us to bring in these new factors, these changes that are occurring in our cities now. We have a completely new era emerging. The disruptive innovations of quality urban rail and denser developments are now economically feasible in a way that we didn't imagine 10 years ago, and the models certainly haven't caught up to. So we are rebuilding our cities. We have a new future emerging, which is far less carbon-oriented. The coal and the oil that were linked to wealth before are disappearing. I think we are emerging into a much more sustainable kind of city form, and one that is being driven by economics now. So we do need to do the economics and get it right. Otherwise, we're going to be throwing money away.
You say, don't you, that cities where walkability is thought about, at least in terms of city planning and city design, those kinds of cities have an advantage. But also digital technologies are playing a part here, aren't they?
Yes, the six most walkable cities in America have 38% higher GDP. And when you trace back what it is, the reality of urban life today is dominated by our social media devices, our interactions that occur in business, in all aspects of life in the city. They are done through our mobile phones and tablets, and we follow up all our major face-to-face meetings with these devices. And they work a lot better if you're on a train than if you're driving. The most walkable places are those that are well served by good quality public transport. You cannot make city centres work if you cater for the car, because you just are filling it with car parks and busy streets. You need to have people meeting in coffee shops and in areas that are publicly available, where you have lots of interaction going on, and then the technologies of the social media devices follow up on all that, and that's how our economy is now working.
So this is quite a significant shift, if it's correct, isn't it, for our cities, for the way we all live. But given the way cities are, given the way politicians and civic authorities are minded, this might be a shift that might take quite some time for implementation, for change to come about.
Yeah, look, politicians, some of them have glimpsed this future and are driving us towards it. The innovative leaders in business are certainly seeing it. The cultural changes are very rapid. So the politics will eventually catch up. Those cities that I study around the world that have not only just glimpsed this, but are actually building towards it rapidly, they're going to streak ahead. In every one of these kind of historic moments in cities, you either have leaders or laggards. If we go the way of these big roads, we'll be laggards. We'll be wasting the capital that is so important to be investing in this new kind of economy, a much more interactive one, much more smart and sustainable. And that is likely to be emerging around the world and being driven by global trends. Certainly, it will be a changing city form, and at the moment we're in a phase of rapid change, so we're not totally sure how it's going to work out, but my bet would be on reduced car use into the next few decades.
Professor Peter Newman from the Curtin University Sustainability Policy Institute, thank you very much for joining us on Future Tense.
Thank you.